2. The great physician now is near.
Says the Lord's mercies are new every day, and that's surely the way we find them. As we gather tonight, we want to continue to pray for Tim James. He's doing well, I think, and also for his daughter Sarah. We ask the Lord's help and mercies to her as she goes through the treatment. And a dear brother in Brother Tim's church, who's going to have surgery, heart surgery tomorrow, by the name of Sam Vance. And we want to pray for him. He's a dear, precious brother. And I hope you'll pray for Sheila tonight, Paul and Ree, Anthony, and the meeting that I'm to preach in this weekend in Cincinnati for Brother Scott Price. We just are so weak, in need of the Lord's help, strength, wisdom, guidance, in so many ways. We just ask the Lord's help in all these situations. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace, knowing that our great high priest has been tried and tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. and that He is one that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We are so weak. We are so helpless and hopeless in ourselves. We're so sinful and so needy that You are the only one to whom we can come. You're the only one that can fit our case and situation. You're the only one that will be gracious, merciful. And You're the only one that has power and ability, strength, to do all the things that we need, Father. We bear before You all of our sick that we have named tonight. We do not know what is best for them, and they do not know what is best for themselves. But we bring them before You, Lord, that You might do what seemeth You good, that You might have mercy upon them and deal with them according to Your wise and Your gracious and Your perfect will. We pray, Lord, tonight, not our will be done, but Thine. In every situation, not only these sick ones, but in every situation in our life, we know that Your will is a will of grace for Your people. And that will is accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to do the will of Him that sent Him. We pray in all these things that Thy will would be done. We ask that You would forgive us, that You would cause us to know tonight that forgiveness of sin that we have in Him. We pray that You would receive all the burdens of our heart that lay upon us, for those that are lost, for those that do not know You, are blind to You. We pray that You might open their eyes, that they might behold by faith the King in His beauty. Lord, we thank You tonight for all that You've done for us, such matchless things, such abundance of goodness and grace. We thank You for each and everything down to the last breath that we breathe. We know that all things come down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we receive them all at Your gracious hand. We would have nothing and would be eternally lost were it not for Your dear Son and our Savior, whose blood shed on our behalf, Lord, is the basis upon which Your favor can be just to us. And we thank You. We pray for Your people wherever on this earth they are, scattered abroad, as the Scripture says. We know that You are calling and bringing each one of them unto Yourself. And we just pray that You would do it in a mighty fashion, that You would do it in our midst and not leave us to ourselves. We pray that You have left us a seed as it was in another day. We ask in every age that You might call out Your people in Christ. Lord, we thank You for Him and for Your matchless grace to us in Christ. May we behold Him and what we have been given in Him tonight, afresh and anew. And may all glory go to Your holy and precious and almighty name. as we pray in His name. Amen.
Hymn number 408, Blessed Assurance. We have talked about the heir, Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say we could call it a superior person. And then we have talked about the heirs of salvation, the church, the Lord's people. And you might say that they are a special people unto Himself. And tonight, I want us to try to measure an ocean with a thimble. And I say that because I want us to talk about the heir's inheritance.
the heir's inheritance. Here the Apostle Peter says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If God has said that we're heirs, then there surely must be an inheritance. And if He has said, as He has, that we are joint heirs, we have this inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua was a type of Christ, and he was used of God to do what Moses, who was a type of the law, could not do. And that was bring Israel into their inheritance. Let me read you a verse in Joshua 11. "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to the divisions by their tribes, and the land rested forever." Rested from war. The conflict ended, and God says that it was Joshua, who was a type of Christ, that caused Israel to inherit that which they had been promised of God. So if our heirship is by being joint heirs with Him whom God calls the heir of all things, then our inheritance surely must consist of all things. All things. That is, all things that God has given us in Christ. And He's given us all things. Listen in Romans 8. Paul says, "If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" All things, that is, all spiritual blessings and all eternal blessings such as are described in this fourth verse. He says, our inheritance, unlike all the fortunes that might be gathered legally or illegally on the earth, like all the treasures that would corruption find and rot and rust and all the things that happen to them, contrary to those things, He says that our inheritance is incorruptible, that which cannot decay. He says it is undefiled, that is, it is justly given to us every way, and that fadeth not away. It is never ending. It is all eternal things, and it is reserved in heaven for you. Reserved for heaven and you, for to you. And if we said that, if we read that verse, and we just simply put a name on it, suppose we said something like, reserved in heaven for Richard. Well, here would be one Richard that stand up, and over here there'd be another Richard that stand up, and everybody would say, well, which Richard is he talking about? But rather than that, he describes the you in this text. He says, you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. That is, every one of these are those who believe, and who believe God, and who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and who believe what He has promised in Christ. And they'll be believing it when Christ comes. In Psalm 47, it says this, and this is what separates believers from non-believers. He says in Psalm 47, He, that is God, shall choose our inheritance for us. He'll choose our inheritance for us. That's what we believe. The Lord has chosen our inheritance for us. If we chose it, we would simply choose corruptible things, defile things, things that fadeth away, but He has chosen for us these incorruptible, undefiled, that never fade away things, eternal things in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is what He says. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom He loved. He will choose our inheritance for us, because we're just like Jacob, we deserve nothing. And like Jacob, the only way we can receive anything is to receive it as a gift of God. Jacob is a picture of every sinner that God is gracious to and merciful to in giving them this inheritance in Christ. And He gives him that inheritance as justified sinners. In Romans 3, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is the only way we could ever receive this inheritance, and it's because of our being justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, all these things, all these gifts, He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we're not talking about things. We're not even talking about feelings. We're talking about eternal life. What is eternal life? Well, eternal life, according to the Scriptures, is not just simply to live forever. Eternal life is to know God in the person of Jesus Christ. We're justified freely by His grace through that redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And in all the Scriptures, it speaks of Him being the heir and of His people being heirs and of Him, of them receiving this inheritance in Christ. In Matthew 5, He says, "Blessed are the meek." And that description there in Matthew 5, all of them are various things that are said about God's elect people. Not those who are such naturally, but those who are so spiritually, made such by the Spirit of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The earth. This earth isn't going to stay this way. John said, we look forward. Peter said it too. We look forward to new heavens and a new earth. They'll inherit the earth. Matthew 19, he says this, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and everlasting life." Matthew 25, listen to this. When he's talking about dividing the sheep and the goats, the ones on the left and the ones on the right-hand side, it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand." They're not expecting a reward for what they've done. He tells them what they've done, and they say, "When did we do that?" They're not expecting, like this religious crowd is expecting, a reward for all that they do. But he said, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit," there it is, "inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Inherit it. That means you can't do anything to gain it. It's a gift. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord's people in Christ have been redeemed from the curse of the law, but they have also been redeemed to God, and they've been redeemed in order to receive this inheritance. I say they've been redeemed. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. They don't receive any of this because of a natural connection. As a matter of fact, they're all so undeserving in themselves. They are, as the Scripture says, by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But they receive this inheritance in Christ because they are not the children of the devil. They're the children of God by grace. They're in this relationship and have been so before the world began because of His sovereign grace, and it shall be manifested just who they are. And one of the things that will manifest them is what they receive. But here's the way they were. 1 Corinthians. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I don't know why anybody would ever imagine that they were righteous in themselves, that they could produce a righteousness, or why they would ever want to make their own self the standing upon what God would bless them. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And all these campaigns, these evangelistic campaigns, I'll guarantee you that Franklin Graham will have some ex so-and-so as a part. Some of them have ex Hells Angels and ex drug addicts and ex this and ex that. It's just a show of sensationalism. But here Paul speaks to these Corinthians who are now believers, and he says, and such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You're not an ex-anything. You're a blood-washed, blood-bought child of the living God. You have been since before the world began, and you were this way naturally, but you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And He is the one that's made you fit and worthy to receive this inheritance. This is what you were, but here you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, a part of that new creation. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. The same was true with these Ephesian believers. The same is true for every believer from Adam's day till now. If this is the reason, this is behind this inheritance, this is why it's sure to His people. Ephesians 1 and verse 11, he's talking about Christ here, and he says, In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. That sounds like we already have it. It's already obtained. In whom, in Christ, By being a joint heir with Christ, we've also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Why would anybody want to throw out the predestinating will of God? Because if you do, you kind of throw out the baby in the bathwater, you throw out this predestination to an inheritance. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Which is the earnest. You know what earnest is? Have you ever given anybody any earnest money? Secured a business transaction or bought something with earnest money? Well, when you give somebody earnest money, that means you're going to give them more. There's more to come. And Paul likens the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness to us that we're the children of God, he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You see, we only have a small portion of it right now. We're only enabled to see or to enjoy a small portion of it right now because of what we are in this flesh. But God sending His Spirit has sent us, He's given us the earnest money, if you would. And there's lots more to come. He says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That is, until the full redemption is accomplished, which involves our bodies. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What does it say? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. The more we know about Christ, the more the Spirit of God gives us wisdom and a revelation of Christ, the more we see what we've been given in Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You see, we have an inheritance like God said to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. But in the same fashion, the people of Christ, His redeemed bride, they are His inheritance. They are His inheritance. This inheritance is a deliverance from all things that are against us. In Acts 13 it says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, And by Him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. It can only condemn you. And all things that pertain to our standing and our acceptance before God, the gift of Christ's righteousness, and all spiritual blessings in Him, everything necessary to suit us and fit us for glory. Listen to this in Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Everything necessary to make us fit or meet for this inheritance with all the saints of God, God the Father has made us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're blind to the heir, we don't know who the heir is. If we don't know the heir, we have no knowledge of the inheritance. The heir must be revealed, and therefore some measure of the inheritance. And that's why Paul said that God had sent him as an apostle and a preacher of the gospel. He said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Those that will inherit the kingdom, the earth, all this inheritance. He says God has separated them and He distinguishes them as heirs, and they will be given an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. And there's only one place you can get that kind of faith. And that's from God. It's the gift of God. The gift of God is faith that is in Christ. Nobody else. Nothing else. They're distinguished. They're set apart. They're sanctified by this God-given faith by which they trust in and believe in and rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking today about trust. The Bible is full of this word trust, you know. Trusting Christ. Those who are God's people, they're sanctified by faith that's in Him. They trust in Him. And sometimes people are, they're prone to say, well, I trust Christ, but I don't trust myself. Or I trust Christ, or I don't trust so-and-so or so-and-so. Then you don't trust Christ. Because if you trust Christ, if you trust Him alone, that's the only one you're supposed to trust in. You're not supposed to trust in yourself. You're not supposed to be in fear of what anybody else is going to do. Why? Because you're trusting Christ. You're looking singly to Him. You're not to be fretting about this one or that one or the other one or anything that might happen or you yourself might do. You're trusting Christ. you're sanctified by faith, he says, that is in me. In Acts chapter 20, he says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." Faith lays hold of Christ, and in doing so, it lays hold of all the inheritance. We trust Him. We look to Him. Everybody else may do what they want to. Their opinions or their efforts, whatever they might be, don't matter. Our keeping, we're not our own. We belong to Christ. We're to trust in Him. I tell you, we'd fret a lot less. But our natural thinking is what we'll get from God. As always, natural thinking is always, we think it's based on some of our doing. There was a rich man, a rich young ruler. And I think he's mentioned in three of the Gospels. Because he's so much like us in our natural self-righteousness. You give me a person that tells me, says that they're thankful they're not self-righteous, and I'll point you to the very self-righteous one. That Pharisee, "I thank thee that I'm not like others." I'm afraid we all view ourselves in that way much too often. Wonder what so-and-so's going to do. Wonder what this one's going to do. I bet this one's like this. No. Christ spoke that parable to them that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. But this young man came. It says, "When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master.'" Well, he's giving A for running to Christ, give him A for calling him good master, give him A for kneeling to him, but those are all superficial things. Because this is what he said: "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" You talk about some two things contrary to one another, like oil and water. That's grace and works. That's works when he says, "What shall I do?" And that's grace to inherit eternal life. You can't do anything. And just to prove it, just not so you don't leave here thinking you're so willing to give up everything for Christ, he said, "Go and sell all you have and give it to the poor." That didn't make him self-righteous. That didn't make him a sinner. That didn't make him anything. It just revealed what he didn't know about himself. Because he went away sorrowful. He had much goods. In the Revelation, John says in Revelation 3, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And then God's going to do the work. Make us just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." He gives us faith. He gives the heirs of the inheritance faith to see it in Christ and to lay hold on the promise and receive it. He said to him that in he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Somebody said, well, if we do the best we can, we'll not only make it through, but we'll get that crown, we'll get that inheritance. Because the Bible says, he that overcometh shall inherit it. Let me read you a verse. First John 5, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's who the overcomers are. They overcome by God-given faith. Oh, the opposition, all the error, all the natural self-righteousness, and they look to the heir to receive all things. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And you know, all the instruction given to the Lord's people in the Bible, as believers, it's given to them as those who possess all things in Christ and who will have all things in Christ. In other words, since you're heirs of God, you are to conduct your lives and deal with your brethren as heirs together. He said, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then in Hebrews he said, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Then again, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. He that overcometh, he that believeth on Christ, trust Him alone, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, you wanted me to go down a list and name those things that make up this inheritance, didn't you? It's just too much. And too much that we cannot comprehend now. If we were told them, we wouldn't have no faculty to receive them. But suffice it to say, it's the promise in which all the promises are, the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. He's the heir. We're joint heirs with Him. And therefore we'll receive an heir's inheritance. Father, we thank You tonight. We're so unworthy of the least of Your blessings. But help us, we pray, to live with some sense of the prospect of what is before us. What we've been given by Your grace, singling us out as Your children and making us joint heirs with Him, who is the heir of all things. We have Him, we have all things. And we thank You and pray in His name. Amen.